Every year on the third Sunday of January, the church in the Philippines celebrates a special feast, kind of extension of the Christmas season, the Feast of the Santo Niño, the Holy Child Jesus. There's an image of him right here next to the altar. I'm sure you know this feast is marked by colorful processions and joyful music and dancing, kind of a fiesta atmosphere to celebrate this child. It's not only a festival of faith, it's also a festival of history and culture. This year, the Feast of the Santo Niño has an added significance because this year, 2021, is the 500th anniversary of the arrival of the Christian faith in the Philippines. And the symbol of that event 500 years ago, in fact, practically the symbol of Christianity in the Philippines, is the Santo Niño de Cebu, the gift that Magellan gave to the wife of Raja Humabon on the occasion of her baptism, sometime in April 1521. Well, the grand plan for celebrating the 500th anniversary and all plans for celebrating the Feast of Santo Niño have been affected, just like everything else, by the COVID-19 pandemic. I have heard and read comments by many people expressing their deep disappointment that we can't celebrate Santo Niño as we have in past years. And that disappointment is understandable. It's just one more of the many sad losses we have suffered this past year. So we lost the public celebration of Holy Week. Our Christmas was diminished. People have postponed their weddings and their family reunions and all sorts of events. And all kinds of social and cultural events have been canceled. Even the Olympics were canceled or postponed until this year. So this is the kind of loss that we have been suffering for months now. And the loss of festive celebrations just seems like a bad thing. But looking at it in faith, the loss of the festive celebration is also an opportunity for us to distinguish the historical cultural aspects of the celebration from the deeper meaning, the Christian roots, the meaning of the Catholic devotion, which is an expression of faith in Jesus Christ. It's beautiful when these two elements come together, and that's the way it should be, faith and culture, or the religion and the fiesta. They should go together, and normally they do. You see, faith has a great dynamism for generating development and transformation of culture. In fact, some of the greatest art, some of the greatest music, some of the greatest architecture comes as a flowering of Christian faith. But it can also happen that we could end up with a cultural phenomenon that has very little to do with its ancient roots in Christian faith. And to be honest, this is what I see sometimes in the Santo Niño celebrations. They don't always seem to be expressions of faith. Sometimes they seem to be only cultural events. Maybe beautiful, and I'm not saying anything against it, but beautiful cultural events are not always expressions of faith. And sometimes the devotees seem to have very little faith. They dress up and dance in the procession, but they never come to Mass. I'm not saying they don't have faith. I just say I can't see that. I don't see expressions of faith. And you know, some people keep an image of the Santo Niño in their business, but they don't seem to have much interest in actually conducting their business according to Christian moral principles. kind of a contradiction, or what looks to me like a contradiction. I can't judge what's going on inside, but it is possible to separate culture and faith. And it seems that some people expect the image itself to generate prosperity for them, like a good luck charm. And that's not faith. Superstition is not faith. Superstition, in fact, is the opposite of faith. It's an obstacle to faith. If we're putting our trust in something, even if it's a sacred image, and if we're not putting our trust in the Lord, that's not faith. So that's what we're here to celebrate, is faith. I'm sure you have seen the image of Santo Niño, or it's called Santo Niño, holding a big bag of money, or standing on a pile of coins, or coins at his feet. I'm not sure what that has to do with faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know. Did Jesus ever carry a bag of money? I don't think so. He was poor. He came poor. He deliberately became poor. He emptied himself. And Jesus became poor for us to enrich us, not with money necessarily, but with eternal life. Well, the bishops of the Philippines, aware of the need to keep this Santo Niño devotion grounded in its true identity as an expression of faith, they have decreed that this feast should be celebrated with Mass on Sunday every year, as we're doing right now. So even if we can't have a big procession, even if we can't have a joyful fiesta, we can and we should celebrate this child. This child. This is not like the Olympics. In the Olympics or any sports event, if you don't play the games, then you don't have anything at all. There's no deeper meaning to a sports event. Once it's canceled, you don't have anything. It's not like that with Santo Niño. We should not say that if we can't have the simulog, or if we can't have a tihan, or if we can't have a cultural, so if we can't have that, then we have nothing. We can't say that. Because we still have what is essential. We still have what is the key, not only the key to this day, or this feast, but the key to life itself. We still have Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and that's the one we celebrate. So even in a worldwide pandemic, we still have everything we need for eternal life. We should not forget that. And you know, with all the sad losses and disappointments, we should not forget what we have. We have Jesus Christ. Okay, those who celebrate or who participate in the Mass on the Feast of Santo Niño, even if we miss the joyful dancing, we can be enriched in faith. And the scriptures chosen for this feast are full of beautiful lessons for the life of faith. I can't pick out many, but I'll just pick out two for our reflection here. One from the first reading, which reveals something of who this child is, and one lesson from the Gospel, which reveals something about who we are and how we are to live. So let's look first at this first reading. It's an extraordinary prophecy from Isaiah. In fact, this is the same passage we heard at the midnight Mass on Christmas Eve. This prophecy speaks of an event that brings abundant joy and great rejoicing, something well worth celebrating with a fiesta, with a procession, with joyful dancing. What is this event that the prophet says we should be rejoicing about? It is a child. A child is born to us. A son is given us. Not just any child, even though the birth of every child is an occasion for joy, yes, but no, the child described here is clearly the Messiah. The arrival of the Messiah brings joy to the world. That's what we celebrated through the Christmas season. And this Messiah, Jesus, he comes as a child. And like any child, little, humble, simple, dependent, helpless, but also powerful, also charged with royal authority and power. And he has these titles that the prophecy gives him: Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. Very grand titles to identify who this child is. Because if you look at a child, he doesn't look very powerful. Doesn't look like the Prince of Peace. But the Santo Niño, and this is where this feast has a very beautiful lesson for us, and this prophecy expresses it, the classic image of Santo Niño, not the child dressed up as a policeman or something, or a basketball player. I talk about the child, or like this one here. A crown, a big royal golden crown, a scepter, sign of power, a royal vestments, or robes. You never see a child dressed like that. Only royalty dressed like that. And holding the world in his hand. As if to say, this child has everything under control. This image, the classic Santo Niño image, is the one who fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. This is what we celebrate. This child, a royal child, a divine child. So that's what we learn from the first reading. Welcome this divine child. Now, in the gospel, it's not about Jesus as a child, but it's a lesson that the adult Jesus teaches us about children. This is a beautiful one. Jesus welcomes children. He wants the children to come to him. Let the children come to me. He embraces them. He blesses them. He places his hands on them. This is obviously not during the pandemic. You're not allowed to touch anybody. In fact, one of the losses to all of us these days is there's no children around. They can't go to school. They can't come to mass. So if you don't have children in your homes, you might never see any children. And that's a big, big loss to everybody. Anyway, Jesus reveals his attitude toward children. He welcomes them. And then he teaches us this strong principle. Whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. It's quite a strong thing to say. Almost sounds like a negative thing. They will not enter the kingdom of God who are not like children. So we have to ask ourselves, well, how does a child accept the kingdom of God? Because that's how we are to accept it. How does a child accept the kingdom? Well, the way a child accepts everything. Children are very accepting. Little children. They're very, very simple. They don't think that they know everything. In fact, they don't think about very much. They don't think much of themselves. They are innocent, they're trusting, they're spontaneous, they're open, and they're just naturally like that. So we observe them and then we say, okay, some of these qualities are what we are to take on. It doesn't come naturally to us adults. We have to decide to be open. We have to work at it. Decide to let go of control. We have to decide to trust, particularly to trust God. Some people might wonder why we should become like children. Isn't it like going backwards? Isn't it against what makes sense? And why become less? Why should we go back when we should be advancing and making ourselves more and improving ourselves? Well, the question is understandable, but it misses the central point. You see, the key to understanding that we are to become like children is in remembering that we are already children. We are already children of God. So to accept the kingdom of God like a child is to do what we were created to do in the first place, to be who we are. We don't have to qualify. We don't have to be stronger or more impressive. We don't have to figure out our way into the kingdom or learn any special theology about it. We don't need to know the secret to trick God into blessing us. or proving that we're worthy of His love. No, we have to be who we are. We are children of God. Our Father loves us already more than we know. He wants us to be with Him. Jesus says, let the children come to me. So what we have to do is let ourselves be loved by God. It sounds simple, but that's exactly what we fail to do. Let ourselves be loved by God. Let go of the controls and all the demands and trust in God. Trust in God. Those are the two lessons, to welcome the divine child and to be like children ourselves so that we enter the kingdom. Now, I'd like to add one little bonus since we still have time. When we see the image of the Santo Niño, we don't think of him in the care of his parents, Mary and Joseph. But it does help us to understand how we are to be like children. Because entrusting ourselves to Mary and Joseph is part of being a child. And we're in the year of St. Joseph. That's why I want to make this point. In the year of St. Joseph, we are reminded to entrust ourselves to the intercession of Joseph and learn from his example. So we don't see any Mary and Joseph. But Jesus entrusted himself to Mary and Joseph. And we can do the same. And when we do, we are taking on our real identity as children of God. So with joy in the Feast of the Santo Niño, and with trust in God, with trust in Mary our Mother, and with Saint Joseph, we can rejoice today and make progress in the ways of God.